Thank you for those songs, Shane. The verse that goes with the last song we sang, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Ephesians 6:24, more love to thee. I'm sure you've all had those moments. Some people call them mountaintop experiences. But I'm thinking especially of Matthew 3:16 and 17, when Jesus convinced John to baptize him. Then he came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God is pleased with his Son. And then in chapter 17, something similar. On the Mount of Transfiguration, here again, Jesus was here with his three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And while he was with them, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came from out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Aren't we privileged this morning to be able to worship and have relationship with God's Son, whom he said he is well pleased with? And I'm sure he would say that again this morning. I'd like to read from Psalm 5, from New King James. Psalm 5, verses 1 through 3, and then again 7, and then 11 and 12. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning, I will direct it to you, and I will look up. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Verse 11, let all those who rejoice put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Then Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. And Psalm 123, unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look to the hand of your master, as the eyes of a maid in the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O God, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. In Matthew 17, there at the Mount of the Transfiguration, The disciples were terrified, but then when they opened their eyes and looked, they saw only Jesus. That's beautiful. A group of juniors were being taught the art of rock climbing, and as these learners progressed up the rock wall, their instructors continually called out, "Look up! Look up!" If the climbers looked down, the distance to the ground would very likely have made them fearful or even caused them to freeze, so they couldn't proceed. Look up. Phil Wickham wrote, "Death is like an empty grave. Fear looks like a giant slaying. Trials look like gifts of grace when I look to Jesus." So what does it mean to look to Jesus? Looking to Jesus means relying on him. The word translated looking has the idea of focusing our gaze on something with confidence. The NIV captures it as fixing our eyes. The story of a little 2-year-old girl at a family gathering. The teenagers were playing a game of basketball, and the little girl, the 2-year-old girl, wandered out into where they were playing, and she was hit by the ball. She looked for her dad, and crying, she ran straight for her dad. He scooped her up in his arms and hugged her tight, and she was fine. So when in pain, look to Jesus. Remember in John 11:20, when Lazarus died, and Jesus was there to comfort Mary in her grief? The Bible says he wept. He was touched. Look to Jesus when you're in fear. Michelle Piller, when she was 9 years old, she was being hunted down by her drunken mother, who had a broomstick in her hand. So she hid under her bed, and with an honest heart, in fear, she cried out to God, "Please don't let her find me." And then she felt engulfed with the presence and peace of Jesus, whom she sensed was real, even though she had never had a Bible story read to her, because both of her parents were alcoholics. She had never darkened the church door or for Sunday school, so she knew very little about God. But at that moment, she recognized Jesus' presence and comfort and peace under her bed in fear of her mother. Then as a teenager, she cried out to God in a simple, genuine prayer. Even though she still hadn't known a lot about Jesus, she knew from that experience that came back to her many times under the bed, she knew there was a Jesus. And so her simple prayer was simply, "Jesus, come into my heart and do what you do when you get there." So began her journey with Jesus. So Jesus is our encouragement in this climb, as our example and as our help. As our example, he's the forerunner who has gone before us. Peter O'Brien says, "Look without distractions." Looking to Jesus means we turn our backs on all other stuff. Of all the good things we could look to and draw from, Jesus demands our exclusive gaze. Looking to anything else will eventually be exposed as the hollow pursuit it really is. Looking to Jesus means looking to him alone. I love seeing the responses of people when I haul new lawnmowers to them, especially husband and wives, you know, how they relate when they have this new lawnmower. That's a shared piece of equipment. But one of the best was one day when I took a new lawnmower to Haven, to a young family in Haven. I unloaded the mower and was visiting with the dad when suddenly the front door burst open and a 3-year-old girl came bouncing out of toward her dad, all smiles and excited. And she said, "Hi, Dad. Hey, can I sit on your lap when you mow?" And he chuckled and said, "Sure." I didn't even see her glance toward the new mower. Her focus was her dad and that she could be with him. So whatever gifts the Lord has blessed us with, can we see them in that light? It's a chance to be with our Lord and Savior and to use these blessings and gifts to magnify him. Both the daughter and dad looked very pleased. That scene often comes back to me. I think it's my favorite. So looking to Jesus means he is our reward. Jesus, the one who has gone before us, and for the joy set before him, he climbed, he ran for the reward. So what is our goal? Is it Jesus himself? I trust it is. He's our goal. And for that, we run, we climb, and we keep looking up. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son to bring us forgiveness, to restore us to you, to bring us peace and joy, and to make us laborers in your kingdom. And thank you that we can meet together this morning to worship you. Help us to focus our attention on you. You're the one. You're the only one with the words of eternal life. But you truly are wonderful, and we want to keep on loving you more and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And so bless us as we share together in Sunday school and throughout the whole service this morning. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.